This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan, Chuang and Noel. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about the KLCI opening number as well as some of the latest corporate news. And we've also got a poll running on Twitter right now. How satisfied are you with the government's response to COVID-19 and tell us why? Right now, 50% of the vote saying adequately satisfied, followed by 27% saying not satisfied, 16% saying very satisfied, and 7% of the voters have no opinion on the matter. But right now, let's talk about global markets. The COVID-19 pandemic has pushed economies all over the world into a recession, and the IMF projects a now 3% contraction for the global economy this year. And because of this, there's been a lot of volatility in global markets. And the question on our minds right now is, how do we navigate this? For more on this, we speak to Peter Berrison, Chief Global Investment Strategist at BCA Research. Peter, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. Now, most commentators view this crisis as the worst we have seen since the last World War, and an economic depression last seen since the 1930s. You agree with such a bleak outlook, and what is the best allocation for global markets at this point?
Well, certainly the depth of this recession is as worse as we've seen since the 1930s. In fact, if you look at the change in employment, if you look at the number of people who've actually lost their jobs in the U.S., it is actually quite similar to what we saw in the 1930s. The big difference, however, was that that recession lasted a decade. This one so far has lasted just a few months. And hopefully, if the measures currently in place can be relaxed a bit, the recovery will be a lot more brisk. In terms of the asset allocation, you know, I think my view has changed a little bit as the market has run up. You know, if we had this conversation in March, I was a lot more bullish back then. In fact, we were telling clients to aggressively buy the S&P 500 if it fell below 2,500. And it did for a while. It didn't last very long. But since then, we've had quite a rally. And at this point, I wouldn't be chasing it. I think there is clearly a risk that we have a relapse. If we think about the 2008-2009 experience, in October 2008, the stock market crashed and it continued to fall into November, but then it rallied about 25%. And if you had bought the stock market in January 2009, you still would have made a lot of money over a 12-month horizon, but you would have lost a lot of money over a 3-month horizon because ultimately the S&P went to new lows in March of 2009. So I do worry we could have a replay of the same scenario as we get more data from companies on just how bad the earnings impact from the virus has been and how bad the damage to the economy has been.
Speaking about the markets, they have recovered from their lows. Is the market overly optimistic?
Well, I think the investors are taking some solace in the fact that there has been very substantial stimulus, both on the monetary side and on the fiscal side, as well as the fact that in a lot of countries, including the U.S., it does look as though the number of new coronavirus infections has peaked and has begun to decline. Investors are focusing on that. Of course, what we don't know is whether this downtrend in new infections will continue once the quarantine and lockdown measures begin to be lifted.
Peter, looking at airlines and the tourism industry specifically, when would you look at these sectors again?
I think they're going to be the ones that recover the last in terms of actual business prospects, because I think it's going to be very difficult for these companies to attract the sort of customer numbers they enjoyed in the past. Nobody's going to get on a cruise ship anytime soon. And certainly when it comes to business travel, which for airlines is the part of the airplane that generates the highest margins, you know, that may not come back anytime soon. In fact, it may not come back at all in the same numbers that we saw before the pandemic, because I think now people are realizing that you can do a lot of business over the telephone. You can do a lot of business over the internet. You don't actually need to fly out to meet somebody. So this could end up being a structural change for the airlines.
Now, Peter, there has been a synchronized effort by major central banks to cut rates while operating their respective quantitative easing programs. Will that be enough to stave off the worst effects of this pandemic, or do you expect more on that front?
Well, I think there's a limit to what central banks can do, because the traditional tool for monetary stimulus. Cutting interest rates simply isn't available to most central banks anymore because rates are already at zero and in some places below zero. I think what most low interest rates really do is incentivize governments to borrow more and use that extra debt either to finance spending or to finance tax cuts. So if we get a lot of fiscal stimulus on the back of these low interest rates, that certainly could help. Now, I would say that it's not going to help growth in the near term. Right now, economic activity is depressed because in some sense, we want it to be depressed. We don't want people to be engaged in the sort of activities that normally generate GDP. But of course, once the pandemic is under control, and that unfortunately is still a big if, in terms of if whether it will happen and to what extent. But if that does happen, then we could start to open up the economy. And hopefully by transferring income to households and businesses, there will be enough pent-up demand to allow economic activity to rebound once businesses reopen.
Let's take a look at oil. Oil prices are at record lows. Would you be looking at oil as part of your portfolio?
Well, I think you have to be very careful when you talk about buying oil. I think the way the most retail investors think of the price of oil is actually not the way the oil market functions. So if you look at the quoted price for WTI oil, right now it's about $12 a barrel. And so a lot of investors are saying to themselves, okay, I'm a long-term investor. I can hold. The price of the barrel of oil is going to rise. It's not going to be $12 in a couple of years. It's going to be a lot higher. But that's not the right way to think about it, because that price, that $12 a barrel, reflects a near-term contract. You have to look at all the contracts for the price of oil. You have to look at the whole curve for oil prices. And right now, the market actually does expect oil prices to rise. The market expects WTI oil prices to be around $30 early next year. So if you're betting that the price of oil will go up, it's not enough for it to rise from current levels. It has to rise more than what the market has already discounted, and that may be difficult to achieve. So while we are bullish on oil, it's not the sort of slam dunk investment that a lot of investors think it is.
Well, Peter, thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning. That was Peter Berezin of BCA Research with a little note on oil there. And with oil below $20 a barrel, or at least Brent crude below $20 a barrel, and I think WTI somewhere below that. I can't see the Bloomberg number at this point. I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag there, but he seems a bit bullish on it, but not in the short term.
Well, people don't realize that if you buy that contract, you have to take delivery of it, right? Put that barrel of oil in your backyard. The Bloomberg has this nice function called the CPFC, right? And it forecasts oil, you know, as far as 3 years out. And even in 2023, it's only West Texas is only about $38 a barrel. So it's not the most bullish forecast in the world.
And we've also got a Twitter poll. Yeah, we do have a Twitter poll running on Twitter right now. How satisfied are you with the government's response to COVID-19? With 51% of the votes saying adequately satisfied, 26% saying not satisfied, and 16% saying very satisfied. We'll be covering this poll further along as we go through the show. But right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be taking a look at the KLCI opening as well as some corporate news. But before that, the 9 a.m. news bulletin coming up after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.